Good morning, everyone. We have two readings this morning. They are both from 1 Samuel. The first reading is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. And the second reading is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And it starts on page 191. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priests with the people that whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, and while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand. He would plunge it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. And even before the fat was burned, the servant of the priest would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the man said to him, "Let the fat be burned up first, and then take whatever you want," the servant would then answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. And our second reading. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am," and he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
So, without further ado, let's invite Jane to share what God's given her on her heart.
On the way to work each morning, I walk through Kingston Cemetery. And after doing this for quite a few weeks, I started to notice things around me, like the grass was always cut, the flower borders were beautiful, it was all neat, the bins were emptied. And it wasn't until I noticed a man one morning just going round picking up the litter that made me think of a number of jobs that are done in this city that we take for granted. The water, gas, electric, we just turn on in our house and use. You may well say that these people get paid to deliver a service. But as I walked on further, I go through a housing estate and there was an ordinary man with a carrier bag going round just picking litter up. And as far as I know, no one paid him to do this. No one asked him to do it, I don't think, as far as I know. But he was keeping his environment nice. There are people that we see doing jobs that we take for granted. But if they weren't there, we would miss them? I think so. Probably if a sewer outside was overflowing, if first thing you'd want to do is to ring someone to come and fix it. Or if the traffic lights at the bottom of the road weren't working and it was causing chaos, you'd want someone to come and fix them. But how about God? Are we like that with him? Or do we have to wait for a major incident in our life before we speak to him, before we know he's there? Today, I want to explore how we listen and respond to what God is saying to us. Easy, you might say. We just do what God's telling us to do. But is it that easy? And do we? As a Christian, I can't imagine my life without God. He's there 24/7, not just to ask or thank him for things, but for me, for the little things. I like to think I have a conversation with him about everything. Think about the kind of relationship that you want with him and just go for it. Like all relationships, we have to be careful that it isn't just a one-way conversation, or that we become selective about what we listen to. Quite often indoors, Adrian would be talking to me and he'd be talking about something, perhaps important, perhaps not. And then he'll say to me, "Have you been listening to me?" And I'll say, "Yes, yes, I heard every word you said." The trouble is, I'm just being selective in what I respond to you. So do you have that type of relationship with God? Do you only listen to what you want to hear? Let's have a look at Eli. He was an elderly priest, the one who brought God's word to others. But in reality, he was failing God. He knew that his sons were not behaving properly. They were deliberately cheating, seducing, and robbing the people that they were called to serve. They weren't doing what God had called them to do, and they certainly wasn't listening to Eli. Now, most parents at some point in their life go through problems with their children, whether it's getting them up in the mornings, getting them to bed at night, them wanting to do what they want to do, not what you want to do. Now, Eli had listened to God when God said to him, "I want you to sort your sons out. They can't carry on like this." So what should have Eli have done? How could he have handled the situation differently? Eli did answer God and said, "Well, I've tried talking to them. I've tried this, I've tried that. And not listening to me, let alone you." So could Eli have handled that differently? Could he have asked the one question that perhaps God was waiting to hear from him? "How do I do this, Lord? How do I help my children?" So instead of asking for God's help with the situation and listening to what God was saying, he did nothing. Samuel was a young boy who'd been given back to the church by his mother, Hannah. He was Eli's helper, an assistant, and lived with Eli. And each night, Samuel's resting place was probably a small room just outside the inner sanctuary. And it was in this room that he heard his name being called. Samuel, Samuel. And that always fills me with a warm glow that God knows our names. And he quite often uses them. But do we hear him? At this point, God could have told Samuel what he wanted him to know, and that was it. But was the message for Samuel or for Eli? God knew that hearing just his name, Samuel would think it was Eli calling. After all, why would God speak to him? He was a child. He was a servant. Samuel would have never expected to hear from him, or even think he could be in that position where God would want to talk to him. Would we know if God was talking to us? We're adults, we're grown-ups. Would we know that? When we hear from God, in my experience, it's never a light-bulbing moment. God may speak differently to each one of us, and he may speak through different things. But one thing I am sure about, if God wants to tell you something, he will keep on telling you. He will make sure that you hear. There are loads of people in the Bible, if you look through it, and not everyone listened to them. Moses was left in the wilderness, and Jonah even ended up in a whale, because they didn't listen to what God wanted them to hear. So after hearing his name, Samuel goes to Eli and finds him asleep. He wakes him and asks him what he wants. Now, I think this is quite good of Eli. Half asleep, he says to him, "Go back to sleep. It wasn't me." If you've had small children and they've come running up to you in the middle of the night saying, "Mum, Dad," perhaps you don't actually say, "Go back to sleep." All is quiet and they settle down. But God doesn't give up. And he calls for a second time. Samuel is now faced with two choices. He can ignore the voice, thinking perhaps Eli may have been dreaming, and if he goes to him again, will he be really cross? Or he could say, perhaps I'm hearing things. Perhaps I'm dreaming. I'm not really here. But no, Samuel, being a good servant, acts on hearing the voice and goes once more to Eli, only to be told to go back to bed. It is only after Samuel disturbs Eli for the third time that the priests realise it's God calling him. Now again, Eli is faced with a choice. He could have said to Samuel, "It wasn't me. You were dreaming. Go back to sleep." Perhaps hoping that God would give up. Or he could have said, "It's God speaking to you. Listen to what he has to say, but, just keep it to yourself. Don't disturb me again." But he doesn't. Eli, being a man of God, realises that the message God has got is probably an important one, and one that Samuel would need to share. So he says to him, "Go back to bed, and if you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, I am listening.'" He also tells Samuel that whatever God says to him, he must tell him word for word and to leave nothing out. At this point, Eli must realise that whatever God is going to say to Samuel could be bad news for him. So Samuel goes back to bed, settles down, and he hears the voice again and tells God that he's listening. And then God tells Samuel something that he would rather have not known. And this is what he says to him in verse 11. "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons utterly blasphemed against God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering.'" Wow. What a message to give a child. What a message to give. This is the first time God had spoken to Samuel, and he gives him a message like that. Samuel is now faced with another choice. How to tell Eli. Ooh, it's a bit frightening. If you know you've got to tell someone something that perhaps they don't want to hear, or you're not sure how to tell them. When Samuel's faced with this choice, he decides the best way he could deal with it is, because he loved God and wanted to serve him the best way possible, He knew he had to tell Eli what God had told him, word for word. And he wasn't looking forward to it. Would you? How would we feel if God put something like this in our hearts? When God first put this talk on my heart, I was so excited. I was really excited. I thought, yes, yes, God, I can do this. And it came over 2 days on the way to work. And I think God often quite speaks to me going through the cemetery because it's quiet. And on the second day, it was like he was standing next to me, just there. And he said, you know, this is what I want you to say. Go and write it down. Yeah, I'll do that. I went to work, done my work, came home, feeling tired. One thing led to another. Needless to say, I never wrote it down. It wasn't until a week later that I got my computer out. Right, I'm ready, God. Gone. Totally and utterly gone. And I was devastated. Try as I may, I couldn't remember one word that God had given me to say. I felt I'd let him down. I had a rough idea that it was about the book of Samuel, but if you've ever read Samuel 1 and 2, that's an awful lot that you could talk about. So after weeks again of praying to God, I'm sorry, Lord, I wasn't listening. I was listening, but I wasn't listening, and I didn't act on it. And what do I do? Well, finally, he spoke to me again. And whether the words are the same as what he gave me in the first place, I couldn't really tell you. But I do know he gave me these words. He not only wants us to listen to what he's telling us, but he wants us to act on them. It's taught me that I need to act on God's words in his time, not my own time. Not when I feel it's ready to do it. It's when God is ready for you to do it. We don't have to come to church to hear God or what he's saying to us, but we do need to listen and we do need to respond to what he's saying, whether we like it or not. God gives us choices, and throughout this story, there have been many choices. We can listen to what he's telling us, or we can pretend we haven't heard. How many times have you felt that God may be leading you in a direction you don't want to go to? And what have you done about it? I think if we're honest with ourselves, that's probably most of us. In the New Testament, Jesus calls us to go and make disciples. We can only do this by stepping out of our comfort zone, praying to God for guidance, and by telling others what we hear from God. If Samuel or the disciples had kept the good news they were being told to themselves, we may not be in this place today. Look back at how you came to faith. Who was the person that encouraged you? Who was the person that told you about God? God was working through them. Would you be sitting here today without them? However you came to faith, I bet you're glad that you were told about God. And looking back through your life, perhaps the difference he's made. But just think, if we listen to God today, what difference could he make to our lives in the future? The other day, going back to work, I saw the man on the housing estate picking up the litter. And I felt a little shove from God, as you do every now and then. Deep breath, because I'm not known for doing this. I went up to him and said, "Hello, my name's Jane, and I'm from North End Baptist Church. Have you got a spare minute?" And I told him how he gave me inspiration to start the story of Samuel. So my challenge to you today is to listen to what God is saying to you. And that could be anywhere. That could be in your home, in your work, in church, just outside. But whatever God is saying to you, just don't let it be. respond to it, even if you just respond to God, saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm here." Shall we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord. Just to thank you that you can just be with us. You know each and every one of us, Lord. You lay things in our hearts, on our hearts. You long to hear the response that you want, Lord. And I pray that you would give each and every one of us the courage, Lord, to respond to the place where you want us to be, to respond to the words that you want us to say. I just pray, Lord, that we will listen. We will listen with willing ears and open hearts. Amen.